here we go. I think I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And because of my sore throat, we brought on with us today. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing a lot better than you are.
Boy, that's for sure. And we're also going to take phone calls in case you have something to ask, because tomorrow and Friday, we are off the air, and hopefully I'll have my voice back by Monday. The numbers to call are 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. But I got your phone number, and it sounds like you have some items you want to talk about anyway, Wes. What are those?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of interesting. Yeah, when you're sitting in the pew listening, you go, oh, boy, I don't know if I'd quite say it that way. You know, having been a resource person in stewardship for the Central Illinois District for 17 years.
Well, what stewardship?
Stewardship is about time, talents, treasures that a Christian has, and how do you approach that when you're talking to a congregation? Because this time of the year, you know, they're coming towards the end of their budget year. A lot of them are on a calendar year from January to December. And they're gearing up for the next church year, which begins here in a couple of weeks.
So what do you find that disturbs you about some of these sermons?
Well, you know, part of it is I choose to deem it as rookie mistakes, you know, so to speak. They tend to make stewardship a law orientation because somebody hasn't done their, quote, fair share of giving to the church. You know, it's the leftover sermon. It's if you really want God to bless you, just make sure you give more. Even though you may not, in one I heard over the radio, the guy said a family gave all that they had, and then the next week there was a check in the mail for them taking care of all their needs. And go, whoa, that's not quite how the scriptures look at it, especially in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you know, you talk about giving tithes and certain percentages and to the Lord to take care of his kingdom. But in the New Testament, it's generosity through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So you're saying a lot of these sermons have French or salad endings. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, let us do this, let us do that.
Or may we.
Or may we, be done. What I like is we learned it at the seminary. You know, we had that three-volume set of Franz Pieper's Christian Dogmatics that we had to go through.
Right.
And I always kept it in volume chapter 3, which talks about sanctification and good works. And he makes that point that the only motive for good works is pure grace of God, which is experienced in Christ Jesus. In other words, for a stewardship year, if you're going to look at it, you have to look at the cross of Jesus Christ and what has Christ done for you, and look at the salvation that he's brought to you. I think that's so, so critical, and that's often lacking in a lot of stewardship sermons that I hear.
It's also referred to as the theologian of the cross rather than the theologian of self-glory.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's very well put, you know, in terms of that. And the scriptures abound in the New Testament talking about good works. For instance, you have 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the churches of Macedonia. And Macedonia was in mountainous regions and had been settled by Roman armies, you know, that had fought there. And then when they disbanded, they were given the land, but wasn't suitable for farming. So very poor area. But these Macedonians, when they heard about the great giving, and we believe it was the great giving to Jerusalem for widows and orphans, that they wanted to be a part of that. And they were overlooked, and they said, wait a minute, we want to be in on this. And chapter 8 talks about how they did more than the Apostle Paul had expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. In other words, giving isn't just to a budget. It isn't just to carry on mission, which we would spend all this money on church work. It's first giving to our Lord Jesus Christ.
And that motivation comes about when they hear sermons about how much Christ has done for them on the cross.
Exactly. For Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might also become rich. So it's looking to the cross of Christ, and it's looking to what Christ has done for us. You know, it's also interesting because when you read in the Psalms, for instance, Psalm 50 comes to mind. There, you know, when it comes to giving and sacrifices, the Lord says, every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not have told you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Everything belongs to God.
All right, we're ready for our first caller. Are you?
I guess so.
Steve, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hi, guys. First of all, I wanted to say, related to what you've been talking about, is I have given more than I thought I could and then had rewards given back to me. But at the same time, I understand. I think that you don't want to preach that because that's not the point of it. I didn't give that amount to get more back. I gave that amount to help the needs of God's world on earth. So I can understand what you're saying, but I have been rewarded also. But anyway, that's not why I called. So my question is, I was reading the other day in the Bible, and I'm in driving, so I don't have the verses, but I think it was Romans that referred me back to Isaiah, and I think it said something like, those who've never been told and do not know, it will be made known. And I assume they're talking about Jesus as God. Do you guys know those verses and have any background on that?
I'm not. You're cutting in and out on me, so I didn't quite catch all of that from Romans.
Yeah. Okay, well, Romans that referred back to Isaiah, and it said, those who do not know or were not told, it will be made known.
Drawing a blank on that. How about you, Tom?
The only thing I think it could be, without having the actual verse, is talking about the Gentiles. The Gentiles did not know him. And yet, in fact, I did that with the Sunday school lesson yesterday, that the purpose of Esther was not to just save the Jews, but to also save the Gentiles. And so that's the only thing that I can think of in context, but I also can't remember the specific verse of what you're speaking.
Well, go ahead.
Well, when I find it, I'll call back on another Friday, I guess.
All right. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah. But to his first point, he is really correct on that. I mean, of course, our giving is to our Lord Jesus Christ, But there in Malachi, it talks about test the Lord and see if he will not also reward or give back to you, that that our giving is blessed by God, but it's blessed because of the right reasons, which is first to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we can remember the apostles. The blessings they received was most of them, except for John, were martyred.
Yes. Well, there's that blessing too as well. You have that sacrifice. But, you know, when you talk about people who die or are persecuted as a result of their faith there, which we see more and more of this in time there, I'm also reminded of what St. Paul writes in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain. For the Christian, we're in Christ here on earth, or he calls us home to be with him in heaven.
So what would your main point be on stewardship sermons?
Stewardship sermons is stewardship is a sanctification, good works motivation. I mean, you can talk about people's lazy giving and not giving at all. There's that aspect of it that we're called to be rich in our good works. But it's sanctification, and it butts up against, right against justification, where we talk about that the promises of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, that saving faith that's rich in his blood. We look to the cross. So often I talk about that in a sermon, that it's to the cross that we come and make that confession of faith, and he gives to us that forgiveness of sins and that great grace. And as we walk from the cross, we carry it with us daily in our good works. So it isn't just only the money alone, but it's how we treat one another, how we love one another, how we work together with one another. You know, it's a variety of things. It's the whole life person in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Since God's blessings are of grace, in other words, you don't deserve them, even if you don't give, you'll still receive those blessings.
Oh, I think that's an excellent point that you're bringing out, is he gives to us no matter whether we deserve them or not. They're there for us. But for the Christian, he looks to the cross and he sees that grace and gives accordingly, you know, in his life, you know, in terms of what his finances are, what his abilities, whether it's teaching or serving in the church or serving at a soup kitchen. There are so many different ways, you know, that we can look to do it. And it's looking at how so many ways God has taken care of my sins through his blood and suffering and death on the cross for me.
Now, during this Thanksgiving season, why do you think that some pastors turn stewardship sermons not into a motivation of thanksgiving, but a motivation of getting rewards?
Yeah, it's so that we can get them coffers going, because we got a bottom line to take care of. I hate to be a little bit taken back on that, but I mean, the one that I heard recently, that's what was happening, and I looked at them and I said, biggest thing they needed to do was their church attendance had gone down. Get the elders, get the pastors together, or calling teams, go out there and talk to the people about their spiritual needs, and that they are missed at church, at the Lord's Supper, receiving the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith. That there's always been a direct correlation between those in church and those not in church, and not hearing the grace of God.
So you're saying when someone receives the Lord's Supper, they are going to be blessed regardless of how much they put in the offering.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's I think you bring up a very critical point. You know, God's grace is sitting there as a result, and at the very center of that is what do we do as we walk away from that Lord's Supper that day?
Right.
You know, I think it's how we carry out our lives. And we're gonna do it good some days. Other days we're not going to be so good at it. And, you know, that's why we come and confess our sins daily to our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that in his rich grace and mercy, he forgives us.
Yes. Now, you mentioned to me you had a document or somebody wrote something about these things.
Oh, yes, there was a article in there that how churches become morality clubs of religion. And he was talking about that, just not only about stewardship, but how churches today talk about rules and they do self-studies on generations and self-studies on demographics and things of this nature. And they write out policy statements, and they become more like a business than a church. And at the heart of it is forgetting to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in the article, I would say he's about half correct, because he's not really into a law preaching, as we've been discussing it on the radio here, that it's both law and gospel. Of going there, because he wants only gospel preaching, but he does emphasize the fact that there's no gospel in most of the sermons that are out there today.
Yes, it's not wrong to find out what kind of neighborhood your church is in order to know best if you have a lot of Muslims or if you have people who are poor. That does change how you approach those people in your message.
Oh, I think you bring up another good point in that regard. That to know what your neighborhood's like. When I went back into the parish, went up to Havana, one of the things is I did do a demographic study to find out what the population up there was doing, but I didn't use it as a substitute for the gospel.
Right.
Is what did I need to bring in terms of talking the gospel to the various people? Because you bring up a good point. If you're going to talk to a neighborhood that's, we'll say, is Jewish, you're certainly not going to sit there and talk about the Muslim faith and vice versa. You got to know what your community is and what's involved there.
So your bottom line is, explain just a little bit more why stewardship is part of sanctification, not justification. What's the difference between the two?
Well, justification is how one is justified, how one is declared free.
Yes.
And we are declared free by the gospel of Jesus Christ, who with saving faith, or the bottom line is, as you pointed out many times, is if you were to die tonight and found yourself in heaven, who would you give all the credit to? It would be Jesus.
Yes.
And that's our justification. He declared us free. Nothing I did could create that. But as I view that grace, or I call it grace-based giving, as I view the grace of God in my life and what he's done for me, then I begin to go out and do those good works. And that's where stewardship belongs, in that holy living that I carry out. In fact, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about God's plan for everybody. Well, that word for plan or administration that translations use is the word for archimias, which is stewardship.
Oh,
what?
I was aware of that.
Yes, God's stewardship. how did God's stewardship in his, and Paul goes on to summarize it, is that it's all summed up in Jesus Christ, who's died and rose for us. And I say the section ends in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is first given to us in that saving faith and through the cross of what Christ has done for us. And then we go out and do the good works.
And that doing of the good works, you're saying, in no way is the reason why you're going to heaven, but is the evidence that you're already saved.
I think that's the fun of it. Yeah, you again, well said. That's the fun that the Christian, in a sense, has. There's nothing I can do to get right with God, for God's done it already through my Lord Jesus Christ. And so what my life is about is going out there and finding ways, always new opportunities that he presents before me to go out and show that grace and experience it. It's great to see. I had, many years ago, I had a member in one of my parishes. He just loved to give. He's in his 80s, and he had a garden every summer that was about a half acre to an acre big. Long, and he'd get all these vegetables out and he'd give them away. One day I looked at him, I said, Hugo, you could go out to the road there, make a lot of money setting up a vegetable stand. And he got a frown on his face, took a couple steps back, and he said, Pastor, that'd take all the fun of giving it away.
Wow.
And when he passed on, family asked if, said I could have anything out of the house that he wanted. And I said, all I want is his Bible.
Wow.
And they said, it's all torn up and it's tattered. And I said, no, I want it. And I read through it. Not a single line was underlined or highlighted. And I've tried to figure out what was it that caused him to be so generous as what Bible verse? Then I heard the kids sing the following Sunday, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the what?
Bible tells me so.
So, yep, he knew the love of Christ as he read through the Bibles and the scriptures daily, and his motivation was you just can't outgive what God's done for him.
So we're saying that sanctification was a spontaneous response to justification.
Oh, absolutely. And when he passed on, it was amazing to hear from people across Senate, pastors that had been seminary students that he had helped out. The former senior college up there at Fort Wayne, he used to bring vegetables up to them, just truckloads of stuff. To the senior college. I mean, he just loved to give away.
That's really because of the faith we have been given as to how much Jesus gave away.
Right, yeah. Oh, because Jesus gave it all for us. And it's just the wonderful, wonderful forgiveness that our Lord gives to each and every one of us. And that's where I see stewardship is so critical, is to show them the cross of Christ, preach the cross of Christ, talk about that wonderful forgiveness and that empty tomb that he's given to each and every one of us.
So you always like talking about some kind of exchange. How's that fit in?
Yeah, you brought that term up, the glorious exchange, because in the glorious exchange is what Christ has done for us. He's in our holy baptism, he's taken off our robes of sin and taken them onto himself, which was done on the cross itself, and gave to us his robes of righteousness and declared us whole and clean in our Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's the gospel.
In a nutshell, boy, it doesn't get any better than that.
And as Romans said, we come to faith by hearing the word of God. And the word in that sense is not law, but gospel.
Gospel, yes. Yeah, just that sweet gospel that we hear. And that, I think, is so critical when we're talking about being stewards of God and what God has done for us, you know, and why we give. It's always there with that cross in view.
That also would fit for Thanksgiving. We are not thankful in order to get more blessings. We're thankful because we have received these blessings.
Oh, yes. That, you know, whether it was a good crop, bad crop, doesn't make any difference. He didn't take punishment out on us for that. He did that on the cross, and Jesus carried the sins of all mankind. And that's the thankfulness that we have, is that gospel in our life.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It saved my voice. You did a good job in those areas, stewardship, thankfulness. And we'll be back, God willing, next Thursday for not tomorrow, but the following Thursday.
Well, thank you.
All right. I'm Tom Baker. That was Wes Reimnitz. And we'll be talking Monday for our next Law and Gospel. God bless.
For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.